Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another exciting broadcast entitled Yahshua the Messiah and the Curse of Kaniah, the Revised Edition. You are listening to Signs and Wonders, the broadcast that came right on time. I'm your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus, and today we will continue with part two of Yahshua the Messiah and the birth of the pagan Christ. Now, today is March 16th, 2021, 17 days after the official beginning of the new year and the third day of the Passover. On this day is when Yahshua, our Messiah, defeated death and made a way for this planet to be saved. This is why I decided to complete the second half of this message on the 16th of March, as it reads in Mark 16th, or Mark the 16th chapter. The resurrection, it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jacob and Solomon, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher and the rising of the sun. And they said amongst themselves, who shall roll away this stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entered into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not afraid, ye seek Yahshua of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Okay? Now, I'd like to say a message. Mighty Allah, thank you for your gift. Your gift for this wicked world, Yahshua the Messiah. Yahshua, thank you for allowing us, or thank you for the ultimate sacrifice, and allowing us away, Ayah, Yeshua. For those that want to be saved, you have allowed a way. We gladly honor you this day. For you said in your word that he that believeth and be baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. As we see, your words are true, Ayah. For this world is truly damned because many do not believe. Ayah, as a believer, I ask that you save those that want to receive this message. Open the ears of your people and bring righteousness into the earth again. Thank you, Ayah, and praise your name. All praise Ayah. All praise Ayah. All praise Ayah. Okay, now, like I said before, I'm going to read the revised edition of Yahshua the Messiah and the birth of the pagan Christ. This is part two, the curse of Kanaya. Now, the birth of the Messiah, it has been, and this is part of the broadcast is entitled The Birth of the Messiah. Now, it's been over 10 years since I first researched and wrote the first edition of Yahshua the Messiah and the Birth of the Pagan Christ. Back then, from 2008 to 2011, my life went through years of new discoveries and constant paradigm shifts. All my knowledge of religion was thrown on its head. Took me years to grow to the point I am at this moment. Way back in 2011, I heard many atheists and non-messianic so-called Hebrews speak about how Jesus was a fraud. The talking point at the time was that the line of David was cursed because of Kaniah. They called it the curse of Kaniah. And I was surprised when I found tons of articles written about this topic. All you had to do was place the term the curse of Kaniah. You can do it even right now. You place the curse of Kaniah into a search engine, and then blam, hits all day long. You see hits about it from Google, and you can even go back to the time that I wrote this, 2011. So at the time, I thought to myself, why do so many people ask questions that are so easily verified? Why would you make a YouTube video for the world to see how ignorant you truly are? Because it's so easy to find. In my mind, I thought, if they took the time to see and had just a little faith, they would truly find the words of the Most High. If you seek wisdom, and you're truly seeking, everything is revealed. For those of you whom are still confused and are familiar with the curse of Kaniah, again, if you don't know about this controversy, then this portion of the broadcast is for you and also for someone that needs this message. Okay? Now, the curse of Kaniah, the talking point is this. It's that Jesus Christ could not be the king of Judah because the line of Judah was corrupt because of the curse of Kaniah. Since Joseph was the father of Jesus and Joseph was in Kaniah's bloodline, then this would disqualify Jesus as king of Judah. You can read this in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 22. Okay, now I'm going to teach this lesson today. And it reads Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 22, verse 24 through 30. As it reads, As I live, saith the Most High, through Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my hand, my right hand. Yet would I pick thee thence, and will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee into another country, where ye were not born, and there shall you die. But to the land where unto thee desire to return, there shall thy not return. Is this man Kaniah a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are thee cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which I know not? O earth, 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 hear the words of the Most High. Thus saith the Most High, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his day, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Yehuda. Now, if you read the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, we know the Kaniah did have children. And one of them was a man by the name of Shealtiel. Okay. Shelethel. And yes, the curse did fall on Shelethel. And he did not have children. And he, being the firstborn, was the first in line. Well, actually, he was the secondborn. Okay. And he was in line for the king, but he was passed over. Okay. Now, the interesting thing was, there was a brother prior to him, and that male child should have been the king because he was the firstborn. But they called him, they said that he was, his name means captive. I'll get into it later. I don't want to confuse people. Okay, so now the line did not go to the secondborn either. It went to Pedaiah, and he had a son named Zerubbabel. Now, actually, to be clear, there was no more king in Judah after Jehoiakim. I mean, after Benaiah, okay? Because something happened, and that's what I'm getting into right now. Now, interesting note, Zerubbabel means the seed of Babylon, or Babel, which is confusion. So his name means the seed of confusion, okay? The seed of confusion, also it means that he was born in Babylon, right? So there's a lot of play in these names, and there's a lot of information in these names when you realize that the names are telling the story. The names tell the story, okay? Now, what I learned through the years of research is the path to understanding scriptures is in the true ancient original Hebrew names. Okay? Everything we want to know is passed in the names of the chosen of Ayah. This is how they hid the meaning of the message. They used many translations into different languages. The church fathers, the first translators, knew the meaning of the message was in the name. The translators like Origen, the son of Horus, remember I spoke about him on the Passover. You have Origen, the son of Horus. You have Clemente of Alexandria, Lucian of Antioch, and priest Arius of Alexandria. Just to name. Now here are the list of names that I discovered from the Sacred Names Dictionary, as well as multiple biblical sources. The first name is Yahkaniah, okay? Yahkaniah, or Yahkaniah, which was changed to Kaniah, or Kananiah, with the extra Kananiah. The original translation was Kwanana Yahuwah, which means Yahuwah was established. Cause to continue or to prolong, to fix or sustain for an extended period or without interruption. If you study history, you can see that this refers to the remnant of Judah. Yahkaniah, right? Yahkaniah's father's name was Jehoiakim. The original translation is Yahuwah Yahuwah Kuyam, which means Yahu will rise. The son of Kaniah was named Shelathiel, which means I asked El. Now keep in mind, his son's name means I have asked El, not I asked Ayah. This distinction is vital to our understanding of why Kananiah was cursed. Okay? It's is key. The grandson of Cananiah was Zerubbabel, which means begotten in Babylon, begotten in Babylon. And since Babylon comes from Babylon comes from confusion, and Zerubbabel was born in the land of confusion, right? That means that there is something that's happening to the kings of Babylon. What happens? Obviously, they get taken into the land of captivity at this time. Okay. Now we have another son of Cananiah. His name is Padiah, and it's Padiahua, which means Yahuwah has ransomed. This is very key. Now, Yahuwah has ransomed. The definition of ransom is as follows: a consideration paid or demand for the release of someone or something from captivity, to deliver especially from sin or its penalty, to free from captivity or punishment by paying a price. Now, the question is, what did Yochanan do to make the kingdom of Jerusalem fall into the hands of Babylon? Now, we're going to let the name speak in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. You will read that Yochanan had 8 children, okay? And it reads, and the sons of Yochanan were, remember, Asir was the first, Selethel was the second, Malakaram was the third, Padiah was the fourth, Shenazar was the fifth, Jachamiah was the sixth, Hosamama was the seventh, and Nidabiah was the eighth. Now, I know I said that Padiah was the third in line because they write Asir out and say that Shelethel was the first son. So Shelethel, Malakram, and then Padiah. So I'm explaining this because somebody, one of the church fathers, are manipulating the scriptures to the point where it's confusing people, Babylon, confusing people, so that now they're speaking about the curse of Cananiah and saying that Yeshua disqualifies him as king because of the discrepancies in scriptures. Okay? And, let me continue. Then, in verse 19, it reads, and the sons of Padiah were Zerubbabel and Shimei. And the sons of Zerubbabel, right to Zerubbabel, were Meshullam, Hananiah, and Shelomith, their sister. Now, whenever there's a female in the line, they distinguish and say, Shelomith is their sister. And it says, and the sons of Janakiah were Asir. So he had 8 sons. This is the king, had 8 sons. But he wanted to pass the kingdom. The firstborn gets the crown. So that should have went to Asir, but he's captive. But everybody's concentrating on Selethel, okay? Now, keep in mind, like I said, there's no mention of the sons of Selethel. Why? Because the curse was on this particular child because of what Cananiah did to receive him. How do we know? Because the meaning of his name means I asked El, Selethel, okay? Now, I always break things down into the Paleo Hebrew for clarifications. And in the ancient Paleo Hebrew, we see a story start to develop. And there are Shin El Lam, Hit Yad El Lam. That's the name of Shalathel. It's Shin El Lam, Hit Yad El Lam, Ilim. Okay? And Shin, sharp press eat two, El, strong power leader, Lam, teach yoke to bind, Hitch, outside divide half, Hyod, work the worship, Il, strong power leader, Lam, yoke bind, Shalam, Hit Yod, Elam. Okay? Now, the etymology of Shalathel, the name Shalathel consists of two elements, the final one being El, like Elim, the prominent Canaanite deity, okay, whose name became applied to the God of Israel, or the common abbreviation of Elohim, the genus God. Now, this is very important to understand, because when they talk about the Canaanite God, you understand that when they talk about the Canaanite God at this time in Babylon, they were talking about the God that worshipped Beelzebub. Okay? And in that worship, there was a sacrificing of a child. That child would be killed, and the blood of that child would go to Baal. So if Kaniah did this practice in the sight of Ayah, then that would end the kingdom, the line of kings. Okay? That's an abomination to Ayah. So we can see that maybe is this what he has done? Did he sacrifice Asir, the firstborn, to get Shalathel? I have asked El. And now here, since that happened, Shalathel's curse with no children. The second part, Shalah, means, it says the first part of the name Shalah, of Shalathel, the verb shall means to ask. Noun, Shalah, means request or petition, is where it gets interesting. And noun, Meshalah, means petition or desire. The difficult noun, Shiloh refers to the grave and by extension to death or decomposition, to decompose. Okay. Now, let's get this straight. His name means to petition El. The root of the word petition or desire is Shalom, the place of Shiloh, Sheol. The death, the place of darkness to which the dead go. Okay? The place of darkness to which the dead go. Okay? So basically, from this, Kananiah made a deal with Baal, whom is Beelzebub. And this is why Shalathel's offspring are not mentioned in the book, because he did not have any. Okay? Now, right there should end most confusion if Shalathel is the father of Zerubbabel. That should end it if people did their proper research on this. Now, the question is this. Did the curse of Kaniah apply to Yeshua the Messiah? Let's answer this question with the name. Now, when we go to the Paleo-Hebrew and we look up Yakaniah, okay, it's Yod Kup Nun Yad Ah. Those are the characters that come out, okay, the Hebrew characters. And you can actually, if you read the Hebrew characters, they actually say Yakaniah. It says Yod Kap Nun Yah, Yod Yah, Yod Kap Nun Yod Yah. Okay. Yod, work for worship. Kap, hup, band open, allow tame. Nun, continue, hair, sun. Yod, work for worship. Ah, look, reveal, breath. And whenever you see ah, that's referring to Ayah. So the name of Ayah is within Yachanan, or which turned into Kanaya. Okay? And meaning Yahuwah will establish. Yachanan or Yochanan was the firstborn son of King Jehoiakim. King Jehoiakim had, King Yachanan had 8 children, and here are the meaning of the names of the children. So now that I told you the name, I'm going to give you each meaning of the name of the children that he had. Okay? The first one, Asir, it means captive, bound one. Okay? Captive, bound one. Shelethel, you know that, with ISL. Mal-Sharam, the king is exalted. The king is exalted, excuse me. Padiah, Yahuwah has ransomed. Shenazar, splendid leader. Yakamaya, Yah will rise. Hoshama, Yahuwah has heard. And Nidabaya, Yahuwah gives willingly. Okay? Now, here's a quick article that explains the discrepancies. And it says, Shelethel is a significant but problematic member of the genealogy of the house of David and of the genealogy of Yeshua. They say Jesus. I'll read it how they write it. The genealogy of Jesus. There's conflicting text in the Hebrew Bible. In Chronicles 3:19, which lists Zerubbabel as the son of Shealtiel's brother, Padiah, while the Greek Septuagint lists Zerubbabel as the son of Shealtiel. Though both genealogies of Jesus list Zerubbabel as the son of Shealtiel, they differ as to Shealtiel's paternity, with Matthew 1:12 agreeing with 1 Chronicles that Yanakiah was Shelethel's father. Luke also agrees through a linguistic twist. Luke 3:22-28 refers to the father of Shelethel, Shealtiel, as Nari. Nari, this is a shortened form of the Hebrew name Nariah. Nariah meaning father of branch. Now this is from Wikipedia 2021, Wikipedia 2021. Now, hold on. I'm going to repeat all that last part to make sure that you get this. It says, Shealtiel is a significant but problematic member in the genealogy of the house of David and the genealogy of Jesus. There is conflict text in the Hebrew Bible in 1 Chronicles 3:19, which lists Zerubbabel as the son of Shealtiel's brother, Padiah, while the Greek Septuagint lists Zerubbabel as the son of Shealtiel. Okay, now, keep in mind, Zerubbabel means confusion. It's almost like this was done on purpose, because aren't you quite confused? Now, who do you think had their hands in the pot at this point with all this confusion going on? Does this statement, the church fathers of the Catholic Church ring a bell? Now, when you read the New Testament, it shows the line from Jehoiakim to Shealtiel to Zerubbabel to Ajud to Eliakim and so on to Yeshua. But in reality, it is Jehoiakim, Yah will establish to Bediah, Yah has ransomed to Zerubbabel, to Adul, Ajud, to Elikam, and so on and so on. Now, Bediah, if you break that to the Paleo-Hebrew characters, it's Padal Yad Padel Yoda Padal Yoda. Okay, means to blow, scatter, edge. Del, like the door. Del, duh. Move, hang, entrance. And Yod, right? Work, throw worship, and then look, revealed breath. So Ayah, Yod, that's the whole word, that's the whole name of Ayah in Padiah. Okay? Yah has ransomed. Right? Just like Yeshua. Ransom. Okay? Now, just from these names, you can put the story together. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do, now that you're familiar with the story, we're going to go through the names and see that it reads, and then it brings, and then it, then the message comes into clear, into clarity. Once I read this with the names in it, and then it'll open up to what is happening. Okay. Yah will rise. This was Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, the father of Jeconiah, right? Whom Yah will establish. Now we know this name because it came true because this line was sustained through the birth of Messiah. But there was a problem. Jeconiah became just Kaniah. The Yah was taken away and became Kaniah because he made a bond with Baal through Shalathel. When he asked El for this child, because of this, he did evil in the sight of Yahuwah, and he was removed from leadership, and his whole family went into captivity. However, we see that Yah sustained the children of Jeconiah through Yah will rise through Hashamam, right? Hoshama, because those children are still being blessed, because it's still the line. His sons, okay, Yah has heard, right, through Nebadah, Yah gives willingly, and then through Padiah, Yah has ransomed. So the names are speaking, and as time goes on, the blessings are still flowing through the line of Dawid. And you can see that Yah chose Padiah to be the seed because he redeemed, he delivered, okay? He rescued the world from the punishment of sin, and the redemption was Zerubbabel, who built the second temple while he was born in Babylon, because his grandfather allowed the seed of Babel, the seed of confusion, into the house of Yaakov, okay? It was redeemed. Okay? It was redeemed. Now, I can end this here, but I really want to bring this home. If the people that questioned the genealogy of Yeshua based on the books of Matthew and the book of Luke just read a little bit further, they would not be confused. Because the very next chapter is the book of Jeremiah. And the book of Jeremiah reads as follows. This is Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1 through 8. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Most High. Therefore, thus saith the Most High, Yah of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Most High Yah, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all corners where I have driven them, and will bring them again to their fold. And they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will sit upon shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Most High. Now, if you're listening to this, can you be the shepherd? He said, I will sit upon shepherds over them, which shall feed them. If you're listening to this, then you're downloading the broadcast, and you're restudying, and you're learning, and you are going to be a shepherd, because there is going to be a time coming in the near future when just hearing the word is going to be a death sentence. Reading the Bible is going to be illegal. Owning a Bible is going to be illegal. You think just because they're canceling Dr. Seuss and Pepe Le Pew and all of these child things, that's comical right now. Like, oh, this is ridiculous. But wait till they really start making things illegal and banning books and banning the Bible. And that's when it gets serious, okay? I'm just saying it's coming. So download these broadcasts. Keep it in a safe place. Download the transcripts, print them out, because there's going to become a time when you're not going to be able to get this information. It's going to be a very, very dark time that we're looking on, okay? All right, let me get back to this. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Most High, that I will raise up Dawid, a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth, and his days Judah shall be saved, and Yisrael shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Most High Righteous, who is Yahshua. Now, if the curse was on the line of Dawid, then how can there be a righteous branch spoken of in the very next chapter? You understand? Now, let me do a sound check really quick. And as I'm doing the sound check, I just want to reiterate what I was saying. Because I was watching broadcast earlier today, a news report, and they're talking about them vaccinating the people in Israel. And I remember when Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston went to Dimona, and there's all these beautiful brothers and sisters out there that went back to Israel, and they followed their heart, and they followed Ben Amin, you know, and I'm not criticizing for them, because I was ready to pack up and go too. But a lot of interesting things happened at that time that I don't really want to mention right now. And now they're forcing the whole state of Israel to be vaccinated with the Mark of the Beast system, with the gene altering or the RNA altering vaccine. It's just a tragedy. And you have the Hasidics over there fighting like hell to not be forced to wear a mask to maintain their services. And Netanyahu is just becoming the demon of demons, forcing people, ridiculing people, Oh, yeah. These are the last days. These are the last days. All right, let me get back to this. Jeremiah 23. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Most High, that they shall no more say, the Most High liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Most High liveth, who brought up and which lead the seed of the house of Jacob out of the north country and from all countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Okay? Shouldn't be there yet. So here we see that the curse was lifted by the birth of Zerubbabel via Padiah. But we get confusion. And this confusion is used to discredit the line of Dawid and speaks bad about the Messiah. Okay? Now, obviously, this is the same modus operandi of Lucifer and the fallen ones. Change the text, confuse, and then cause confusion and division, and then just keep it moving. Okay? All right, now, I'm going to take a quick break because I'm going to segue into another portion of this broadcast, but I just wanted to make sure that I went over the curse of Kaniah, and hopefully that was able to help some people. But I'm going to play a quick like a little music break, and then I will be right back. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, let's see. Sorry, I have like, I'm looking at this new board here. Oh, this is a good one. Okay, I'll be right back.
We don't need no stinky party.
Satellite. The sciences Psychological operation, the general population hypnotized, right in front of your eyes, drama and lies, look into my eyes. Just a little seed makes a big tree, standing on its own, rhyming all alone. Just a little seed makes a big tree, grows so high, gonna touch the sky. Just a little seed makes a big tree, spreads roots deep, branches far and wide. Masonic lockdown in your hometown. Masonic lockdown, can you feel me now? Masonic lockdown, soul shut down, stay shakedown, a mass breakdown. Put your muzzle on, get back in your basket, get behind your dog toss, living here is drastic. Dr. Evil, and he's evil, Dr. Evil, with a master plan, a false vaccine, like a bad dream. The plan to microchip every woman, child and man, the plan to chip us all, to have complete control, the land, the sky, or soul.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. If you're curious about that particular audio, that was Ian Brown, and heard about him today from a broadcast, and that reason why I played that particular audio file, because that was taken off of Spotify. They removed it because of the lyrics. And if you go through the lyrics, you see that he talks about the New World Order, the vaccines. He talks about the demonic system, the technocratic dictatorship that's going on now. You know, and this, it's just a song, but they had to remove it from Spotify. All the platforms now are being controlled. Okay. We're living in some very interesting times right now. All right. Now, here are a few final points to think about. The key to understanding is the names, because the message of Israel is hidden in the names. This is why when you read about people or persons in the biblical dictionary, they break down the meaning of the proper names first. You can also get deeper meanings of understanding how a name is used. For example, Egypt. When I found out that Egypt meant bondage, the last verse in Deuteronomy 28 had a whole new meaning to me. So if you want to have deeper understanding in what you're reading in scriptures, look at the name. And as it reads in Deuteronomy 28:68, and the Most High shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the name, by the way, whereas I spoke unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. And like I said before, you don't need a ship to go to Egypt from Israel. Okay? So knowing the name, the true name is key. Yeshua equals Yahuwah is salvation. Okay? Here's something else to consider. Everything that we have been taught in the past has been revisited. Okay? Because the teachers did not come from the Most High, they came from themselves. Here's something else to consider. There are many books that are missing in scriptures. We know this because we read about them. So what was taken out from our understanding and who took it away? Who decided that we did not need these books? Was it the kings of Judah or the kings of Israel? Was it the kings of Babylon, the Holy Roman Empire? Who was it? Now, here's an example of the missing books. You have the books of the covenant. Exodus 24:7 says, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that Yahuwah has said will do and be obedient. Book of the covenant. The book of Nathan, the prophet. In 1 Chronicles 29:29, it says, now, the acts of Dawid the king, first and last, behold, there are written in the books of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet. See, in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer. Two, right there. Epistles from Laodicea and Colossians. Colossians 4:16, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Okay? Nazarene prophecy source. Matthew 2:23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. The book of the Acts of Uzziah. 2 Chronicles 2:26-22. Now the rest of the Acts of Uzziah, the first and last, did Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, write? The Annals of King David. 1 Chronicles 27:24. Joab, son of Zeruiah, began to count the men, but did not finish. Wrath came on Israel on account of those numbering, and the number was not entered in the book of the Annals of King David. The books of the kings of Judah and the books of the kings of Israel. Now, because of the separate kingdoms, there are added sources we heard and we never heard of, right? Okay. When I say the books have been corrupted, and I do not mean the words of the Most High Yah is corrupt, okay? Now, excuse me. When I talk about this stuff, okay, I'm not saying that the words of the Most High Yah is corrupt, okay? What I mean is that the hands of the Gentiles that have inserted Babel into the understanding is corrupt. So once we uproot Babel, we rediscover our understanding. So pretending that it does not exist is foolish. This is why I criticize present-day Christianity, because when someone tells them that they have been misled or lied to, they ignore you and they do not listen. Okay? And because they do not listen, they do not have the ability to hear. And this is key, because they cannot hear the understanding of the word. The Most High Yah is calling his people. This is John 10:26-28. But ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. But ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So if you don't believe, if you this doesn't vibe with you, it's all right. Because you're not in the hands of Yah. You could be, but you're not. Now, how can his sheep hear his voice if Babel is doing all the speaking? And I don't like using that word sheep now, because now it has a bad connotation, because most of the people that are taking the vaccines are sheep. But then again, if you think about it, they're sheep because their shepherds are misleading them. And who are the shepherds? Who are supposed to be the shepherds of the sheep? Who has the knowledge? Right? Who has that knowledge that can help those to understand? The pastors, the preachers, the leaders. Okay? Now, how can his sheep hear his voice if Babel is doing all of the speaking? Now, when it comes to me to do this study, I had no clue. At the time when I was doing this study, this was back in 2011. I asked myself that phrase. I said, how can his sheep hear his voice if Babel's doing all the speaking? And this was a question I had. And I wrote it out just like it sounds. And then after that, the answer popped up. It was very special when it happened. Okay? And it started with Romans chapter 10, verse 13, 28. And it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah or Yahuwah shall be saved." Right? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they had not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias said, Yahuwah, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily the sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Elias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel has said, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Now, all of this message that I wrote back in 2011 kept teaching me. That verse told me to go to Isaiah 52:7-15. Because I asked, let me quote it exactly. "How can his sheep hear his voice if Babel is doing all of the speaking?" And I'm being answered with Isaiah 5-7. "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good and publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy Yah reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up thy voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when Yahuwah shall bring again Zion. Break forth in joy, sing together, ye waste places of Israel, Jerusalem, for Yahuwah hath confronted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Yahuwah hath made bear his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of Yah. Depart ye, go ye out from hence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of Yahuwah, for ye shall not go out with waste, nor go by flight, for Yahuwah will go before you, and Ayah of Yisrael will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were stoned at the his vestige was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths, nor him, for that which hath not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Now after that, it said, go to Joel 2, 1 to 11, and it reads, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all that inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahuwah cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever alike, neither shall they be any more after it. Let me read that again. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people, a strong, there hath not been ever the like, either shall be any more after it. Even to the years of my generation, of many generations, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, ye, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horse and as horsemen. So shall they run, like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble. As a strong people sit in battle array, before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the walls like men of war, and they shall march every one on his way, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk away, every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the walls. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withhold their shining. And Yahuwah, shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong, that executeth his word. For the day of Yahuwah is great and very trembling, and who can abide it? Now, I was thinking, like, wow, could they be talking about the seed of Jacob? A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds, of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it. even to the years of many generations. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the walls like men of war. They shall march everyone as his way, and they shall not break their ranks. I was like, man, who are these people? Is this the seed of Yaakov? Is this the last generation? Then a voice said, keep reading to the end. So I went to the last verse of this chapter of Joel 2, and it reads, Joel, the second chapter. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Most High shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Most High has said, and in the remnant whom the Most High shall call. This verse leads us back to Romans 10:13, right where I began. The verse speaks about deliverance. The Most High shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. This led me back to Bediah, Yahu, Yah's ransom. This verse speaks about remnant. As the Most High hath said, and in the remnant whom the Most High shall call. This leads me back to Kaniah, Yah sustained. The remnant he sustained in Babylon. Now, when I read this back in 2011, I would like for y'all to go over the original verse. I had to change it a little bit, but I'm going to keep that up there on the broadcast so y'all can read how excited I was at the time, the first time I read this. And I give a lot more explanation into this. But I want y'all to understand that at the time when I was doing this research, all these verses kept coming. They kept coming back. This one verse was complimenting another one. And it all came back to me. The reason why I was doing the study on Kaniah was to get to Bediah, which was Yah's ransom. And Yah's ransom was Yeshua, who was sustained through Dawid. And for this time, 10 years later, we're talking to us, when I'm looking at Jerusalem, that's being forced to take the vaccine, and we're actually heading towards the last generation, which has to stand up before, because right now we're going through global lockdown. I mean, this is it. Okay, we're here. Now, like I said, I had this happen to me before when I thought about topics and someone would mention it, or I would think about something and it would happen, but never like it did at that time. Everything just lined up perfectly. And at the time, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. So in closing, I just want the Seed of Yaakov to know, no matter what they do to you, you are the apple of Yah's eye. No matter how they try to hide the truth, change the name, scatter the sheep, confuse with Babel, we are the apple of the Most High's eye. As for the Gentiles, they need to listen to this, because this is in chapter 10. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doeth my father love me, because I lay down with my life. This is from John chapter 10. Lay down to my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father, Yah, the creator of all things. All praise, Yah. Now for the Hebrews of the seed of Yaakov that were sold on the slave ships, lynched and have been told that you are nothing and treated the same, and now are forced or the first in line for the vaccine because Melinda Gates loves you so much. She wants to give it to black people first. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 7 through 13. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughters of Babylon. For thus saith Yahuwah, the Yah of hosts, after the glory hath he sent unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that Yahuwah, the Yah of hosts, hath sent me. Sign and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For lo, I came, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, Yahuwah. And many nations shall be joined to Yahuwah in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that Yahuwah of hosts has sent me unto thee. And Yahuwah shall inherit Judea, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before Yahuwah, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Okay. Now, I'm going to end in prayer and conclude. This concludes the curse of Kaniah. It concludes Yahshua the Messiah and the birth of the pagan Christ. We are going to go through some very dark times. Hopefully I can do broadcasts more frequently. I have one that's coming up. I was going to do that one before this one, but I wanted to make sure that I acknowledge the Passover. And at this time, I'm aware that not many people understand the significance of this, but I can guarantee you in the future, once you start acknowledging the times of the Passover, understanding that it comes during the time after the 14 days after the year, you know that it's 14 days after the year because of the celebration of Purim, but mostly because of the month of Adar and the month of Abib. The month of Adar has the full moon. After that full moon comes in the month of Adar, that means the beginning of the month of Abib. And then 14 days after that becomes the new moon, which starts the Passover. 3 days of the Passover, then it completes of the rising of Yahshua. And for remembrance sake and understanding of the power of the sacrifice that was made through the line of Padiah, the ransom, the line of Dawid, okay, the kings, the birth of Yahshua. And all of this information is confused because of the church fathers and the Council of Nicaea that confused it. Understanding this, that's what this broadcast was for, to explain that confusion that happened through the Council of Nicaea and the Greeks and the Romans and the takeover. After they took over the spirituality, they pretty much chased the ancient Hebrews into hiding, and they went throughout Africa, through Ethiopia, and then the remnant was swept up by Islam, sold into the slave trade, distributed to the four corners of the earth. And then the Edomites and the Ashkenazis and all the German fake Jews came in, took the identity, and became the artificials. And that's why Jerusalem is going through hell right now. It's not just my words. You can see it. And this earth will continue to go through hell until the true seed of Yaakov knows who they are. And then we acknowledge Yeshua the proper way. We celebrate Passover on the correct day, not the time of Ishtar, Easter, with the Easter bunny, and eating Passover ham. Come on, people, wake up. But once we get it right, and we all become one and walk like the mighty army that is spoken of, we can roll through these people easily. We're disfragmented, and that's why they win. Okay? We're weak. Now, I'm going to say a prayer. Yah, I ask in the name of Yeshua that you wake us up. I thank you for the Passover. I thank you for concluding the Passover on this day. I thank you for Yeshua rising up and being that mediator for us to be cleansed, to be baptized, and to know the word, Ayah. Ayah, I ask that you give this message to somebody. I ask that you plant this seed, Ayah. Like that song said, plant that mighty seed and let it grow until it reaches the heaven, just like the mustard seed. It's so small, Ayah, but it's so powerful. So I ask that you plant this seed of faith into the heart of those. Let people start to know the dates and times of the proper Passover, the proper times of the new year. Let everybody get on, let your people get on one accord, because we are the apple of your eye. You said that, Ayah. And you said in your word, you said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And we know that we first, Ayah, have to know your name. And your name is not God. It is Ayah. Your name is not Jesus. It's Yeshua. We must go back to the ancient original names, because those names tell the story, Ayah. Ayah, I ask that you bring us back to that. And we ask that you rise up shepherds, Ayah, so that they can guide the sheep and protect the sheep from the wolves. Because those wolves are just going crazy right now. And they need to be knocked upside their head. Thank you, Ayah. All praise, Ayah. Ayah, I love you with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? And it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king controlling. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And then she tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew hallelujah. 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 A blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which one you heard. The holy or the broken heart. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.